From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, Kermit Davis, Ole Miss men's basketball coach, going to join us here in a little bit. We recorded the interview yesterday afternoon from Canada. He's in Canada. We're not in Canada. But recorded it from Canada prior to Ole Miss's win over Concordia or somebody like that. Is that right? Concordia? Maybe that's not right.
I'll have to go look. I can't remember.
It's right with a C. They were the Stingers I saw on their court last night. But I'm not sure. Whoever. They beat a Canadian team.
It wasn't streamed last night, right?
No. Craddock's on a video. So it was... they had to come from behind. They were down for a good bit of the game. And he did the little video interview with Adam Kuffner with Ole Miss Media Relations after the game and didn't seem overly... chipper about the performance last night. He
got to give Adam some credit.
He seemed kind of perturbed.
Adam kept kind of digging on some of the questions, and I was like, "Wow, it's pretty good." if credentialed media had done that, he might have gotten a little testy.
Yeah.
Adam kind of kept digging in.
He gave some honest answers. Said they played soft. Again, there's going to be a little intensity with Mr. Davis as the thing moves forward. So
look, if it were a
what
you don't fix it in a day. They're probably going to lose Wednesday night. I mean, they're playing a team Wednesday night that just beat
Cincinnati by 19 last night.
I mean, I'm not predicting a loss. I have no idea. I couldn't name a player on that team if my life literally depended on it. But it wouldn't be shocking at this point if they lost a game on Wednesday night. It's going to be a process. This team went, 4-14 in the league last year?
That's your question. I don't know. Is that right?
5-13, 4-14, somewhere in there. They have six, let's see if I get this right, five true freshmen, two JUCO transfers. It's a new system. And it's August. It's way too early to pass any judgment at all. And yes, he's not going to be happy for a while.
Games at the Raven's Nest on Wednesday night in Ottawa. I'm on Carlton's website or however you pronounce it. I don't know.
But the Raven's Nest, baby.
Yeah, they played Cincinnati last night or maybe two nights ago, either way.
I mean, if you hear you're playing a game at the Raven's Nest, you know you're in for a battle.
Well, the biggest difference I see between them and a lot of other Canadian teams, and by a lot of other Canadian teams, I mean the two Ole Misses played so far, is that, I mean, look, I got what I got here, is there wasn't a lot of length. There hasn't been a lot of length so far that Ole Miss had to deal with. Now, the team last night shot very well from three. How much of that was them? How much of that was Ole Miss not playing very well defensively from three? I don't know, but this team did not
close out on threes well last year at all.
So it stands to reason that could be a struggle until it gets fixed now.
So they're probably not all of a sudden, after 10 days of practice, suddenly closing out well on threes.
Yeah, so point being, this team they're playing on Wednesday night has multiple players that are 6'8", 6'9", 6'11". They've got a lot more height and a lot more length than the other teams Ole Miss has played to this point, best I can tell. That's where I was kind of going with that. But.
Gotcha.
Anyway, as we move on, the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford, get a daiquiri as little as $3.99 for a price of that, as big as 44 ounces if you so choose. SpeedPass Plus, download it, save money, make it convenient, make it efficient. And also, don't worry about identity theft, which you just pay at the pump. Don't have to go inside, don't have to talk to anybody. You can leave headphones in like Mr. McCready over here. So SpeedPass Plus app there at the Oxford Exxon. Put in a cheese bites next door at the Oxford Crystal as well. So that's what's going on with them. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in, oh God. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. I'll tell you about it in a second. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He's going to send you a quote. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. It's easy. I know some of you have done it recently. I've done it. I think Jeffrey just did it. It's super easy. Make the call, get a quote. And then after that, it's kind of up to you. You can make a bunch of calls otherwise. You can shop that quote around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and others, and that's just take the hassle out of the car buying experience. You get a great vehicle, great service plans, all that stuff. Delivery options. Corey's going to take care of you. It's just the way he is. He wants to be your car guy. Tell him that you heard about it on the podcast. You'll save $500. 662-257-1900. Some of the people, Chase, I know we're jumping around. Forgive me. We got practice today. We'll have a lot of content up on the site. We'll have more content up on the site later today. The site, by the way, is rebelgrove.com. It's part of the Rivals Network. It's cheaper than any of the lunch places. If you get a month at rebelgrove.com, for cheaper than any of the lunch places that we debated yesterday. So check it out. Anyway, what I was going to say is, some of the people that went to the rally yesterday in Columbus.
We're talking about the Urban Meyer rally that I think 200 people were at. However, USA Today had some headline about how it was this huge crowd, which was kind of interesting. Maybe 200 is huge relatively. I'm not sure.
Are you saying that USA Today sensationalized?
There's a possibility of that. Yes, go ahead.
The guy that's holding the sign that says Me Too.
I saw that.
Exclamation point.
Yep.
I support Urban Meyer and the Bucks.
O-H-I-O.
That guy, he probably is going to worry this morning about being doxxed. I hope he's self-employed. That might not end well. When you minimize the Me Too movement to that degree, you show a level of callousness that I don't really want to relate to.
With someone that has no understanding of any nuance or any movement to begin with. It is someone that is so small-minded and so unilaterally minded in football that nothing else even holds a perspective possibility for them, in my opinion. But yeah. The only good thing about that rally is more people weren't there. Disturbing. More than anything else, but I'm telling you, I think I saw yesterday, I don't know who it was, maybe it was Colin Coward, maybe it was Jason McIntyre, somebody on Twitter predicts a suspension, but him keeping his job, and I'll be honest, I'm kind of leaning that way as this thing drags out, but they're going to find a way
to keep
it.
Oh, I'm starting to think you're probably right.
Amazing, but that is where I'm kind of leaning. That committee or whatever it is, like, committee, what are we calling them?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it
supposedly within 14 days a decision will be made?
Are we to a place where it just means too much? The SEC does that. It just means more, not about football, but about it, sports in general. And I get what they mean. Are we to a place where we've jumped it, where it means too much? The man knew what he was doing when he kept Zach Smith on his staff. That's irrefutable. There's no way around that.
No, that is 100% fact.
How does Urban Meyer, and I know the answer to this, they go and they'll buy players. I know the answer. So I'm being somewhat rhetorical here. How does Urban Meyer go into a living room this fall in November and say to a female, we're going to help raise your son. We're going to make sure that he understands how to treat women.
He's a professional salesman. He'll come up with some bull crap thing that will work on a lot of people. It's the answer.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, it's not a good thing, but that's the thing.
I'm really disappointed. I had planned on going into the season and making fun of Michigan a lot, and my plan's been...
Why can't you do both? Why is Ohio State intrinsically connected to Michigan?
No, that's fair.
For different things.
I've lost some of the salt.
I mean, if we have a podcast where we do nothing but point out illegal behavior, we're probably not going to make many jokes on the podcast over the course of the season.
No, that's true.
I think they kind of have their own area. I mean, you know, Baylor sickened us for a very long period of time, but we still found plenty of ammunition for Texas on a different level.
That's a good point.
So, you know, be all right.
I'm going to be okay.
There's room for Harbaugh, too.
I'm significantly bothered by all of it. I will say that I'm proud of the majority of the people in our field who seem to understand that Urban Meyer should be fired.
That is true. Real quick, just the last thing on this, again, Carlton, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I'm reading from Hoops Hype Canada on Twitter here. Carlton beat Cincinnati by 19 in Canada behind former Xavier signee Eddie Akiyor or something's 26 points. Says in this that Duke declined to play them during their Canada trip upcoming next week. So they are actually not playing the best team. Said no wonder Duke didn't want no smoke from Dave Smart and the Canadian champs. Reading from Wikipedia, this team has won 92% of its Canadian games under this head coach, Dave Smart. They've beaten Cincinnati, Wisconsin, and others in recent years. So, good test for Ole Miss on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. You don't need to play a bunch of teams with 6'2" forwards.
No, and quite frankly, getting your butt kicked on Wednesday night might not be the worst thing to happen to you. That film becomes undeniable. And when you get back to Oxford after the 8 to 10 days off, and you say, so, fellas.
Yeah, we won these ones, but
you know, the way that you want to play doesn't work. And then you show the film of Middle Tennessee.
Because you minimize that team along the way. You got, they're from Canada, guys. If they're doing that to you.
Sure.
What's Bama going to do? What's Kentucky going
to
do?
The way you want to play doesn't work.
Yeah.
So why don't we try to play the way I want to play? Because it works.
Apparently, they kind of turned the game with some 1-3-1 last night, best I could tell from Kuffner's interview.
Which is what they're kind of known for.
Yeah.
That takes some time to teach.
Yeah.
Newsflash.
Hallmark of an MTSU team over the last 10 years.
Newsflash, they'll be better in November than they are in August.
Thanks.
Newsflash part two, they'll be better in January than they will be in November. Newsflash part three, they'll be significantly better next year because his system will be in place.
As a reminder, Thursday night we will be at Funky's 5:30-ish start time for that. We'll go about an hour with Todd Wade joining us up on the stage or wherever we get put for the event. So come in. We're going to have some specials, $2 domestics, $12 pepperoni pizza, as well as probably a daiquiri special too. I haven't gotten that finalized, but I figure I know somebody
suggestion.
I can make that work. Oh, did you?
Yes.
For a daiquiri?
You could make that into a daiquiri. You could kind of have to use rum instead of vodka.
Well, you'd have to have it set up in the machine ahead of time, though.
Right.
It would take some pre-planning.
It would.
And you got to take another daiquiri off the menu. So what are you taking off the menu?
Well, I don't even know what's on the menu. I got to go find out. A little cranberry, a little lemonade, a little spirit.
I think we do have maybe a watermelon lemonade coming. I think maybe it's one of the next ones. But yeah. Anyway, I don't know if it has vodka or rum in it, one or the other, but.
You
some have
frozen
vodka, some
vodka
have
drink, right?
Yeah, but again, you got to pre-plan it and put it in the big machine.
Vodka, cranberry, lemonade.
Maybe a dash of Sprite.
Maybe just a little Sprite.
Yeah, give it a little effervescence, if you will. So 5:30, Todd Wade. We'll have a good time. Come join us. You also have the chance to win a gift certificate from Blue Delta Jeans, $200. I believe is the value of said gift certificate if you answer the trivia question correctly, a trivia question that we have not come up with, but I do have a couple ideas, so we'll get that done here soon. We're going to go to Kermit in a few minutes. Full pad practice today for Ole Miss. Neil will be in attendance to give plenty of very deep and detailed thoughts on the Ole Miss football team heading into the 2018 season, but media availability is for the length of practice. It was for an hour on Friday. They were just in shells, or maybe not even shells. Might have just been shorts and helmets now that I think back to it.
Yeah,
I think it was shorts and helmets.
Yeah, you have to go.
Well, you know, sometimes they have those small kind of padded things around their top hat.
You have to go two practices with no pads.
Just shorts.
Two practices with shells, and then you can go full pads.
Okay. Is that the rule?
That is the rule. So they went Friday, Saturday in shorts.
Why is the helmet okay?
I don't know. It's a good question. I guess because it's protective.
And the shoulder pads aren't?
I guess it's to get
acclimated. They're seeing more of a weapon.
Maybe
than
get
a-
acclimated to the weather, to the conditioning, to running around with the helmet.
Okay.
Which is a different thing than running around without a helmet.
It's still base level stuff, but I would assume full pass today, our kind of goal is probably to convey who's in a little better shape and who's worse shape, because the heat coming today, full pads, there are going to be a few guys wilting by the end of this thing.
I plan to be wilting by the end of the damn thing. And if anybody hits me, I'm suing them. My days of hitting are over.
You'll watch the offensive line for an hour and a half.
Well, so I take
what's kind of your plan?
You're
what's
not going to be there, right?
It's up to you, whatever.
No, it doesn't matter. If you're not there, I'm going to have to focus on making sure I write down kind of who's running with the ones, who's running with the twos.
Which is probably the most detailed information anyway, but yeah.
Because the depth chart people are crazy. Because they want a depth chart. I will never, I've done this for 10 years, I will never do a depth chart that is not given to me by the football team itself. Because that way there's zero chance that it's wrong. I don't want to get yelled at about, you had so-and-so as a starting safety and he's not there. We were just experimenting and now we've, uh-uh.
But where they are situated still is where they are situated.
That's where they were situated as of this day. I'll try to put that information out there. And then I'll probably end up watching offensive line because that's just kind of what I do. I'll watch Matt Corral some. I want to see how much further he's come along.
Probably watch John Sumrall a little bit.
Yeah, I like watching him coach. He's a good coach.
He's intense.
He's intense. And he's not yelling at me, so it's kind of fun to watch.
Well, you can be good intense and bad at intense.
Do you like intense coaches when you were playing?
Dude, I played 1 year of football. I was a freshman in high school. I don't know. I mean,
my DB coach.
I was so small, I wasn't going to play. I mean, I was a center just because there was nowhere else to put me.
I was, like I said, sort of a hybrid. And so when I played, mostly I worked with the defensive backs. And my DB coach was more cerebral. We didn't do a lot of the yelling and screaming and cussing and hollering. But when I would go down and have to work with the front seven people, there was more of that. Uh-huh. And I always liked the more cerebral approach.
I'm shocked. Yeah, really. I'm blown away by that.
I wasn't crazy about getting yelled at.
No, I mean, I've renewed my driver's license online pretty much every time since that became a possibility.
Okay.
So on my driver's license, I still have like height and weight from when I was a freshman in high school and got my first license. So, like, I think my license still says I was, like, 5'6", 155. Something like that. Like, so that tells you, no, I was not playing a lot of football at that size and in my speed. That was not the – and then all of a sudden, like, I had a couple coaches like, hey, you know, you're not bad at baseball. Why don't you just go do that and go hang out over there? You're left-handed and breathing. That's probably a better path for you as you you get through these seasons. So,
it could have been the Hatley Flash.
Hatley Flash, that's it. I got
Hatley's Corvick Neat.
Yeah, well, I probably have. No, no, I'm sorry. Never mind. I don't know where I was going there, but there's no reason to be rude to him, honestly, at this point. I get in the airport the other day. The woman kept looking at me several times. She goes, are you sure this is you? I was like, yeah. And she's like, you got a haircut. I'm like, well, yeah, but that's allowed, right? Like, I don't have to keep the same length of hair in my driver's license picture. I don't know. TSA agent was kind of weird about it. She kept me there for a few minutes, like looking at, you know how they do it? Like they look down at the license, look back up at you, look down at the license, look back up at you. It's like, are you looking for freckles or moles or something? Yeah. Like what's the goal there? I don't know. But anyway, I think I already said this on the podcast. If I didn't, hearing Ole Miss will play fall baseball games against Delta State and Little Rock, both in Oxford. Some of those started trickling out yesterday. Maybe sometime around this podcast, maybe while we're interviewing Kermit yesterday, it's all running together. But, you know, there are some marquee games for fans across the country. I know Cal State Fullerton's getting a couple people in. Tennessee and Alabama are playing the same weekend as their football game. I think Alabama's playing Florida State as well, their other weekend, so they took that approach. Oxford's a little different animal because of logistics, lack of hotels, lack of parking. Frankly, the efficiency of days, I don't know that Ole Miss in year one wanted to return a trip. I think they would like both games to be at home. So Delta State allows a little bit of, not intrigue because they don't matter at all, but a little fun that normally would not happen. And then Little Rock is close enough that they can drive back after the game without having any issues.
Yeah, let's delve into this a little deeper.
Yeah,
because you know a lot about this, and you're being kind of diplomatic right now, and I get it. let's say this is middle of October, right?
October or very early November, but yeah, sometime around there, sure.
Auburn comes here at that time. South Carolina comes here.
Early on, I'd heard South Carolina weekend as a key date. Now, did that get done? I have no clue. I'll ask. I have no idea.
So, South Carolina's coming here for a home football game.
It's November 3rd, I believe. Auburn's October 20th.
Okay. So, let's take those two dates.
Yeah.
Auburn's going to bring a lot of people over here.
There are.
South Carolina, because it's the whole Grove thing, and they don't play.
And this stupid uneven schedule, right, which is a whole other argument here. Carolina's not coming back to Oxford until 2030.
Yes. So
a dozen years, literally.
So they're gonna come over for the whole Grove thing. It's gonna be one of the highlighted road games on their schedule.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of the Grove. So I get that. Whenever I say thing, people get mad. But you understand, for an Arkansas fan or an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan, they've been to the Grove a few times. They like the Grove, but it's not.
They do it every other year.
It's not a mystical thing.
Yeah, Carolina hasn't been here since they beat Ole Miss the week after Florida, the Florida thing in 2008, maybe.
2008. That's the last time Carolina's been here.
Okay.
So it's been 10 years. And it'll be.
Has it really? Yeah, I guess it has, yeah.
So it'll be another 12 if the schedules stay the same way.
Correct.
They won't, but as they are now. So they're going to come in mass for that. Ole Miss people are going to come to both games because it's at Ole Miss. There are limited hotels. Getting the logistics of, hey, let's get, pick a team, pick a big name team.
I mean Vanderbilt.
Okay. Getting Vanderbilt to come in on that weekend is hard enough.
Because you're going to have to return a trip to Vanderbilt. They're not the little sister that's going to just come to you every time.
And also, while Ole Miss could probably find some places to stay in Nashville, I don't know that Vanderbilt would be able to get everything that a baseball team needs for its travel. You got to have a certain number of rooms. You got to have a way to feed them. You got stuff.
Well, see, that's an element of this, too, because this only got passed very recently. There's such a short notice on this where there wasn't time to, you know, like Mike Bianco calling Tim Corbin right now and going, hey, look, next October 13th, let's go ahead and book some rooms a year out and let's kind of go ahead and set this up. Oxford's been booked restaurants and hotels for a year for this fall.
So you're going to have to take the team to Batesville or New Albany or Memphis.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, Tim Corbin goes, well, I don't want to do that. Where do you feed them?
Yeah. Suddenly, this becomes a pain.
Yeah. Okay, so after the game, when they play, you got to feed them, whether it's some chicken strips or whatever. Yep, all the restaurants are booked. We don't really have the ability right now, sir, to feed a baseball team. We've got to do this and this and this. It's too much. And then, like you said, Corbin's going to say, so, you know, we're coming to Oxford, so I was kind of thinking, bouncing this idea off of you, we think you probably should come here also. And that's when Mike says, do we really want to do that? And can you imagine Ole Miss and let's say Mississippi State, because that would work. You'd turn the gate.
You just want to fill it up, Wolf.
Fill it up. Ole Miss and Mississippi State on a
Friday night,
Halloween weekend-ish, Friday night, Saturday in Oxford. You don't think some people might take too much from that game and turn it into something that it's not, do you?
As I told you yesterday, look.
Why is he taking the starter out after three innings?
To say this won't even be a spring training level of competition in this game during the fall. The message board reaction from some, if Delta State pulls a W this fall, you can't even beat Delta State.
Well, and you're probably, if you're using your starting pitchers, you're using them very sparingly. They're on
a lot of them are just shut down. A lot of guys that throw in the summer pitch at all in the fall.
Right.
Last year, four dudes were shut down in the fall.
Yeah, they just lifting weights, running, staying in shape. They're not throwing baseballs at a high level.
If you are, a lot of fastballs, throw it over the plate.
Ryan Rollison didn't throw in the fall.
No, I think Rollison was shut down. Wolfolk was shut down. Feigl, maybe it was four. Maybe somebody else.
So it's just, I get why it's cool, and I also get why some of the coaches are like, I don't want to make this up.
Yeah, I get throwing some fans some bones occasionally, and then I also get, hey, and the most important thing here is my team. Let's make this logistically possible. Because here's the other deal, too. And look, this is not a big deal by any stretch, but there's only so many fall practices. I think coaches do like them in a number of ways to, A, weed out the end of that roster. They got to cut to 35 at some point. So you want to give every kid as many reps as possible in a lot of different situations.
Yeah, you want to take a look so that you make sure you make the right decisions.
Because it's different in other sports. You've got to cut. You're down to 35, and you can't start with 35 because all of a sudden academic stuff, injuries, you end up with a 30-man roster, and you're hurting yourself.
So you got 43 kids out there, and you got to make some cuts, and the difference between 34 and 36 is marginal.
And point being, these 2 weekends, you're only getting half the reps you normally get because typically your team's on both sides. So there's 9 fielders and pitchers and different things that aren't going to get the reps that they have in the past for 2 of those weekends.
Because Vanderbilt would want to hit 2.
Yeah, I don't think they're just going to go play in the field while you get to hit both sides.
Well, that's no fair.
Well, that's the way this works. Life isn't fair sometimes.
You could do it where when Vanderbilt played here, all Ole Miss did was hit. And then when Ole Miss went to Vanderbilt, all Vanderbilt did was hit.
And you're still cutting out half the hitting either way. But sure, that's fine. I'm all for Vanderbilt coming. They got to bring the navy blue uniforms because I love those. But if so, let's do this thing.
You know, you're busy enough right now. You don't need a baseball series. You've got all your camping gear set up for Friday night.
You're gonna see the land shark on Friday night, right?
Well, he's coming Saturday, but I understand from talking to people close to you that you're planning to be very first in the line. At Meet the Rebels, you got your tent set up for Friday night. You're all
we inadvertently broke on the podcast a few weeks ago that he was coming out on Meet the Rebels. I stumbled across that fact. I'm tearing up the mascot beat. I mean, I pissed a lot of people off last spring or whenever it was when all that stuff happened. That was last fall, wasn't it? Yeah, it was last fall it was last fall when they announced what they were going to do. Anyway. All right, let's go to Kermit in a minute. This podcast is running off the rails, so let's get back to sports and basketball in a second. For that, I'll tell you that Locker Stockers is the way to take the hassle out of stocking your locker or suite this football season. Vault Hemingway, if you have access to one of those, you can place your order with Locker Stockers, and they handle purchase and delivery to the locker or suite before game day. They also offer some different discounts and things for season packages. So give them a call at 662-586-1487. Take the hassle out of stocking your locker at info@lockerstockers.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Brian McLaurin. Brian's an experienced attorney who offers a uniquely, highly personalized service to not only repair credit, but also educate clients on the ever-changing world of credit. He will work with you for an entire year to help you create a personalized plan to raise your credit score to help you meet your financial goals. No one else offers this kind of personalized credit counseling, and this is why Gambrell & Associates refer their clients to Brian to get a fresh start. So whether you're looking to fight off debt collectors, get approved for home car loans, or for that luxury credit card, let Brian McLaurin get your credit fixed and teach you how to take control of your credit. Brian provides you the valuable information he has learned and acquired through years of experience and research. This allows him to offer a uniquely personalized service for anyone in any state, as he is always available to his clients by phone and email, and he's ready to work with you. So contact Brian at bhmclaurinlaw@gmail.com or call him at 662-298-2029. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you will get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market here in and around Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for. And then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
So now let's go to Kermit Davis on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
Kermit Davis, kind enough to join us from Montreal, I think, as we record this. I'll start with this. You were the guy brave enough to try to take Ben Craddock across an international border. That says something for your courage there.
It's especially on my first trip, right?
Yeah, I know.
We made it. We made it okay, and Vince doing good, and yeah, we've enjoyed having him with us.
What is Montreal like? I've never been. I've always heard it's a really cool city. I've been close to there, but I've never been to there.
Yeah, you know, I've taken a team to Toronto, to Calgary, when I was in Middle Tennessee. You know, Montreal is much more like a overseas city, you know, with the language. Toronto is almost like New York City. I mean, great city, Calgary the same, but you really get a more of a French, really a culture, and so it really has. We're right in the downtown area, and so it has. It's been a cool place, but you know how these trips do. You can do some sightseeing, but it's been mostly basketball.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. You guys played, as we record this, it's Monday afternoon. By the time people hear this, you guys will have played a second game. Chase has the ability to look into the future. I don't, so we'll focus on the first one. I know it's an exhibition game. It doesn't count on the records. There's a lot that goes into it. But, you know, given the fact that it's your first game with them, given the fact that that team that you inherited – had such a disappointing season last year, especially down the stretch where they just had such a difficult time winning. Was it something beneficial in just coming out and playing fairly well and winning a game?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's two parts. It is our first, you know, team. If it was at Middle Tennessee, I don't think as much importance on winning. You know, and we still played, you know, I guess 11 people and 12 people maybe in the first half or 11. But you do, you want to get these guys to understand, you know, that, you know, what we're doing is good. They are good players, that they have, you know, we did have some talented players coming back and get the feeling of winning again. And, you know, because, I mean, obviously the competition and the athleticism of some of these teams, although they're put together because they really are. What I found on these Canadian trips, why I like them, is that the teams are coached, they're together, they have a system of play. But to answer your question, it was good for our guys just to have a good feeling after we had put a lot of long hours in, you know, since we've gotten the job in March.
When you, I assume by now you probably went back and at least watched some of the film, if not all of the film, if not probably watched it a couple of times. What did you feel like you did well in game one? What did you feel like maybe you struggled with? Was it about what you expected?
Yeah, you know, I thought the ball, we turned the ball over quite a bit in practice. And I think because of, you know, maybe our pressure defensively. And so, you know, 18 assists, 15 turnovers, that's not a great number, but maybe a little bit better than I expected. You know, I thought the ball moved. We didn't screen as well. I don't really think we took a lot of bad shots. I really thought that that our team moved the ball, and we're not anywhere close to hopefully we're going to be offensively from ball movement, player movement, and different things in. I didn't think we guarded the ball. I thought our closeouts, long closeouts on the ball, weren't very good. And at times, we didn't make a miss. They just missed shots. And so those are all things that we watched the tape together this morning for about an hour. And that's the beauty about this trip is being able to get that next day in and watching the tape together.
I asked you about this months ago, maybe when we had you on the podcast. I can't remember. You're obviously you're known for a lot of things, but as much of anything, you're known for your team's defensive efficiency, your defensive proficiency. It's a defense that's hard for other teams to prepare for. I can remember Andy Kennedy and other coaches talking about getting ready to play you guys when you were at Middle and the challenges of getting ready for your defense. What is the challenge of kind of installing that defense, and not just the X's and O's part of it, Kermit, but the mindset, the energy level, that kind of thing? Obviously, it's not done on August the 6th or whatnot, but how difficult is it, how challenging is it to get that mindset installed and get guys to play defense the way that you want it played?
You know, I do think we're a very athletic team on the perimeter, and I just think of being an everyday team and every rep team and being able to get through adversity and practice. And this is including the returning players too, you know, the toughness part of it, not just playing hard, but playing hard with detail, you know, being able to go through scouts and, you know, everything you do is you're trying to prepare to, can your team go on the road in an adverse situation against the best teams in the league and win? And that's the whole thing. And so, you know, right now we can do it for small stretches. And, you know, we don't have, we're trying to get a base in of toughness and play in with some accountability. But, you know, as it goes in October and November, then with the scouting and the different things and how we've been 3-1 and the different things that we played, hopefully it gets better. But we're making some progress, but we've got a long way to go in that area.
Have you ever had a team with this many young guys, like five freshmen, a couple of JUCO guys? I mean, a lot of, I think I've got that number right, seven guys that this is their first sort of D1 experience. Have you, I'm sure in your career you've dealt with something similar to that, but how unique is it?
Yeah, not in a long time. You know, I mean, it's been a while. You have five true freshmen, you know, that played in the game. And yesterday, Franco Miller had a little, he's had a knee tendonitis, so he couldn't play as much, especially in the second half. He just couldn't go. And then, you know, even with, you know, Scooter and Zach Nader, those are their first Division I game. Then you even got Devontae, who's a sophomore. So it is. It's a relatively young team, but it's been a fun team. I mean, they have been really good to come into the gym with every day. There is going to be some growing pains with that many new faces, but we've had a good time together. And you know, as far as, you know, guys being on time and being there, strength and conditioning, they've really worked. So it's been a good experience so far.
And I told several people, you know, when you, in my spot, you're working on commitment stories when a guy commits to your program and that kind of thing, and you're trying to write something beyond just basketball and trying to get to know the guys a little bit. And all really nice kids, really friendly kids. They were all kind of fun to talk to. How much, when you're doing recruiting evaluation, obviously you've got to have guys that can play at this level. I understand that. But how much kind of character evaluation do you have to do looking for guys that are going to play your style and play the as hard as you coach and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a big part of us, especially early on. And obviously we've got our hat in the ring for a lot of really, really good players and ranked players. And even in the spring, we got beaten our share of battles. We won a couple. And so, but I do think the toughness, you've got to have passion for basketball. You've got to have that, especially early on in our program. And you've got to be able to bring a guy in here that he's not going to fight as far as trying to, the willingness of really wanting to play and practice and get better. And then if you're building a program and if you're starting to fight three or four character issues on your team, it's going to hurt you. So, you know, I just think that, you know, all those guys, you're right. I think they're going to be good players. They're great people. They're low maintenance academically. And so I think it's four or five guys that you want to build with.
I probably saw three quarters of the game. I had to run my son to soccer practice and back, and I'm watching on a laptop computer, so I don't know how good my eyes are. But I did like what I saw out of Blake Kinston, and I know you guys have been really high on him. It looks like he's a young guy that has a ton of upside.
He does. He and KJ Buffin both, they really do. They're kind of who we played with. But Blake has really, you know, he reclassified even from, you know, 19 to 18. And so he's got a great maturity level. He lives in the gym daily. He's great receptiveness to coaching, you know, and he does. He's 230, so he's got a physical body. He shoots, so he does. And he's got a willingness to defend. He and KJ Buffin, KJ turned it over a little bit yesterday, but he's just hybrid forwards that can all make threes and pass and catch. And I think both those guys really do have to be, you know, they're going to be really good players in the SEC before it's over.
What have your thoughts been on Terrence Davis? He's had such a, I don't want to call it a roller coaster of a career, but he's a guy that he's had some really high highs, and the valleys have been kind of deep as well. He's had a hard time finding consistency. He's obviously extremely athletic, can do a lot of things. What have you noticed coaching him, and I guess what has kind of been your message with him in the early going so far?
He's got to get back to focusing on just impact and winning. More of like when I saw him when he was a sophomore, when he was trying to really – he was just – because his freshman, he didn't play much. And I think he was just excited to be on the floor as a sophomore. And he's got to make simple plays. and he's not trying to make these spectacular plays, going to the next play, and just body language of not letting one play affect the other one, and becoming an elite defender, not using his athletic ability just to catch up on the defensive end. So all of those things are, you know, the things that we've tried to emphasize with TD. And the biggest thing is just, how are you going to impact winning? And if you do that, all those other things are going to come to you for sure when the season's over.
You mentioned recruiting. I know you can't talk about specific kids, and I wouldn't dare ask you, but I'm curious just in terms of the general response that you've gotten. You mentioned having your hat in the ring for some high-level kids. What's kind of been the message that you've gotten from those guys? What's been the response that you've gotten from some of the, you know, the elite kids that you're trying to get your hands on?
I mean, very receptive. I mean, they can go and, you know, we had a young kid on campus and then, you know, he's been to everywhere, and just that Coastal Pavilion's the nicest arena I've been to. The TUI Center's and this nice practice facility that I've been to. We hear that over and over and over. And then when you hear from the family, they just sense, as you know better than I do, you know, just a family spirit of Oxford and Ole Miss. And then obviously the SEC basketball making such a high-level push over the last couple of years. So it really is. I mean, you got a chance against anybody. And so, you know, now we got to prove it on the floor. We can get our team to play the right way. And, you know, that's going to take some time. But I just think that the recruiting process has been good, and I think those guys have a good feel that they can come in immediately and play.
Is it one of those chicken or the egg deals, cart before the horse and all that stuff? Do you have to win to get those kind of kids to come? Do you have to win at a higher level than the program has? Or do you recruit those guys based on a vision and then they help you get there? Or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I really is. And I think the fan base is a huge part of it. I mean, that's a huge part of what we're doing. And I understand about, but we are in the SEC, and you've got a good fan base, and you got people who care. So the biggest thing in recruiting is, will the fan base come with us in the building process, or do they wait to see? And when a fan base can go with you in the process, if they have a belief in what you're doing, if they'll go with you, then the recruiting process, it just takes shape so much quicker. Because I've said it all along, I mean, the pavilion's unbelievable, everything around it. But the biggest sell is when you can bring a recruit into that pavilion and the place is electric and they see the interest in basketball, then it sells itself so much quicker.
I was going to ask you, because it seemed like yesterday, and I don't know that I'm the greatest gauge in the world, but it was a Sunday afternoon. People have a lot going on. School's about to start back, and it's obviously football season and all of that. Yet there was a – I'll be honest, I was surprised the stream survived. Kudos to the people at McGill, because I would have bet against that internet stream making it through the afternoon. There were a lot of people on it. What has been kind of the feeling you've gotten from the fan base? Obviously, it's one that – is hungry to see basketball win, and they haven't. It's been up and down, and the last few years have been disappointing. What's kind of been the general feeling from the fans that you've encountered on a regular basis?
You know, it's been really good. You know, I don't say that trying to push tickets. I just think that I've always said it. North Mississippi's always had great basketball fans. They do. The pockets of small towns that understand basketball, and I think Ole Miss has always had a good fan base. I think the Ole Miss fan base has a great appreciation of how basketball should be played. And I was firsthand when I was at LSU, and we'd come and watch the teams of Ansu Cisse and Keith Carter, and I was at Mississippi State playing, and we watched Sean Toohey and John Stroud and Carlos Clark and Elston Turner, and the fan base had a great appreciation of how they played. And so I think they think that's what they're going to be able to see. And I think right now, the other day we had an external meeting, and I think season ticket sales are up 10 or 12% at this point. And hopefully that can really, really grow. And we're going to make a hard push at it in September, October, November. But I think it's been really good. I mean, gosh almighty, when you come and watch a game in that pavilion, it really is. With all the amenities, I mean, it's as good a value of a ticket as you can possibly have.
So you have a day off on Tuesday. I know you talked about a team-building exercise, and I probably asked the worst question you've ever been asked in your coaching career about whether you like lazy rivers or slides. Are y'all just y'all just going to the park on Tuesday? What's kind of the – what do you do on your one day off in Canada?
Yeah, well, we let them decide. And so they wanted to go to a theme park, so they didn't want to do the water park, so they did the theme park. And so we'll get up in the morning, and some of the younger guys will get a lift in. Some of the older guys who've had experience lifting would do more stretching, and then we'll check out of our hotel and do the theme park here for 4 or 5 hours and go to Ottawa, where everybody says is another really cool city, and have a dinner together, and then get ready to play a really good Carlton team, you know, who's beat the who's who of basketball throughout the years.
How's the food up there? You got a favorite for anything?
You know, it's been good. I think at the hotel we've kind of been more of American food for our players, and we went out the first night, and it's been good. But I mean, it does have a French culture as far as menus of French and different things, and so we've tried out a few things, but not much yet.
I have to ask: has Ben Craddock gotten any escargot yet, or what's he? Have you had to chase him around Montreal, or what?
I don't know. He went to Old Town with some of our. I think it's called Old Town in Montreal last night with 4 or 5 of our other coaches, and it seemed like they had a good time. But you know, Ben, he's rocking the hot top tennies, and so he's a millennial at his age, that's for sure.
I've never heard it put that way, but yeah, I can't argue. Well, hey, enjoy the rest of the trip. Good luck the rest of the way, and safe travels back. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thanks to Kermit for his time joining us yesterday. He was getting ready for pregame when he gave us 20 minutes or so. So, again, huge thanks to him. The podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. When you go to MasterCutsLawn.com, you can get information about signing an annual contract, take care of cutting, edging, weed-eating, and more. As the fall's getting here, it's time to maybe get that outdoor living area built, outdoor kitchen for game weekends, and much more with MasterCuts decks, fences, and anything kind of construction to help make your outdoor areas better. Again, MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773.
Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs there in Holly Springs, tysondrugs.com. They have a great app as well for you to go get sildenafil or anything else that you need from a prescription standpoint. They deliver wherever you are there in Holly Springs. They also have a branch now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar. They've changed some things up, renovated. You get great local service that delivers inside the Oxford area. Did you, I know this is more my growing up than yours, but did you see the mugshot for Greg Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks as he got arrested?
That name does not ring a bell.
The goalie on the Mighty Ducks movie, the Disney movie?
Never saw it.
You've never seen the Mighty Ducks?
No.
How? You've never like shown your kids like Disney movies from over the years? Carson's never seen the Mighty Ducks?
If he has, we've never discussed it.
That's really weird. Out of all the weird things that I've told you about being weird over the last week or so.
I know. I've been called weird a lot lately.
Well, that one really is kind of weird.
I mean,
that one's even weirder than some of the restaurants you haven't eaten. I'll give you a break there. This is kind of weird.
I've just never seen it.
It's like I said, hey, we know Cinderella, and you go, huh?
I've seen Cinderella. I even met her in Orlando.
Well, point being, Greg Goldberg, the character's name in the Emilio Estevez hit The Mighty Ducks, the Disney movie about the hockey team. There were two sequels after that, became a franchise, did quite well.
I'm aware. I've just never seen it.
Okay, I'm just filling you in, giving you some Cliff Notes version. Okay. Cake eater. So this is one of your better brain on drugs ads ever be. You know, the whole infomercials they should do where they showed your body on drugs or whatever. It is more your time than mine, but I do remember when I was little.
Just say no.
Yeah, that. So this on the left is the actor that played Greg Goldberg in 2015. And then the same guy, 3 years later or 2.5 years later, as he was arrested for some type of drug use in, I think, California. So this is 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That, wow.
Yeah. Everybody Google this if you haven't seen it.
Wow.
What do you think?
He looks like he aged 25 years.
Yeah.
And skipped every meal in the process.
He's been on something hard for the last 36 months.
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, sad, but I just look at it and go, whoa. Long way from the Mighty Ducks.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, one of the better known characters from that movie franchise. You can skip the third one, but you ought to make Carson at least watch the first two. The third one's kind of got a Rocky V feel to it, but you know, it's okay.
He liked Major League.
I think he'd get into the Mighty Ducks. I mean,
he probably would.
I don't know if it's going to make him like be an NHL fan or anything, but
no.
Get into it. You never know.
He could. He likes NHL.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been to the games.
We've been to some games.
Yeah, that's right.
NHL games in person are really, really good.
Cheered for the wrong team, but he's fine.
Yeah, that's one of the best stories ever. Wish I thought they'd won.
Oh God, that is pretty good.
That's great. He turned and looked at him. He goes, "I wish I thought they'd won." I was so glad to get out of that arena. Oh my God!
So what'd you find interesting from Kermit?
Oh, what I like about Kermit is you can tell there's just an intensity that kind of burns. That intensity's coming out. He's still kind of laid back with them right now a little bit. October's going to be a fun time.
Oh, you don't think they've gotten the full brunt yet?
Oh, no.
You think he's still playing nice on the court right now?
No, I just think he's still... This is my judgment. I have no way to back this up. I'm basing this on just listening to him a few times. I think he's still feeling everyone out a little bit. Trying not to completely pass sweeping judgments. It's early. It's August. The freshmen have only been on a college campus for a month.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're making sweeping judgments on your freshmen after
one month. They're being thrust into a really early role here.
Yes. I mean, if you're making a complete judgment on what you think the upside for your freshman could be right now, you might be premature. He's been doing this long enough that he probably doesn't commit that error. October, November will be interesting times. I expect that the Kermit Davis that you see on the bench, say, at Butler in November, is a little different than the Kermit Davis than you see on the bench Wednesday night at, would you say, in Ottawa at the Ravens
Nest? Yeah, the Ravens Nest, I believe, was the... Yes.
I bet he's a little different at in Tuscaloosa.
Like they were down 10 at the half or something last night. Yeah, a little different than being down 10 at the half against LSU in Oxford at some point this season.
Right.
It's gonna be fun. I'm kind of intrigued by it. Kind of looking forward to it. It'll be good. So, what's been the you mentioned a second ago? Nationally, the response been what we would hope for from the Urban Meyer rally thing yesterday, media wise. What have you seen?
Yeah, I haven't seen any media come out and say what's the big deal. He's just a football coach.
That's what Urban's trying to say.
This doesn't work
coach.
When you've been on the record saying you're more than a football coach. This was easy. You fire Zach Smith 3 years ago. You said we're not going to tolerate it. Or 9 years ago at Gainesville when he was a GA, you don't keep him around. But they kept him around because he was Earl Bruce's grandson. had some connections to that Ohio State program. It was a job that Urban Meyer probably had his eye on a decade ago. Urban thinks about Urban. You know, maybe a decade ago, you don't enable Aaron Hernandez. Maybe a decade ago, when Chris Rainey beats the hell out of a girl, you kick him off your football team. And you say that won't be tolerated. Or maybe you just say, hey, look, I'm in the business of winning. We're going to win. I'm not putting up signs. Either way, I'm cool with either one of those. If you want to just go all out renegade, I'm not going to want to play for you, but I'll at least respect your honesty. But don't do the hypocrisy thing. I hate that.
We're in such a weird news cycle world. He saves his gig. Does his legacy remain somewhat intact?
With the people that cheer for the laundry.
We're going to look for the reason anyway.
I think with most of us, we'll look at him and go, wow, hell of a good coach, bad guy. Hell of a good coach, bad guy.
Which we've done with people in the past. He won't be the first one.
Oh, it's complicated. His deal will be more of a polar complication. It'll be a lot like with Freeze, it's very nuanced. It's very complicated. With Urban Meyer, it'll be very simple. Bad guy, hell of a good coach.
It's kind of amazing in some ways. They both covered a lot of things up. Freeze is out in like 3 hours, and Meyer has at least a puncher's chance of surviving here.
Well,
I mean, I get there's much more to it. It's just on the face, it's sort of interesting.
Well, just like I said yesterday, it tells you that Ross Bjork knew it was an unmanageable situation.
Well, and what you have to, you know, if Urban has any chance here, amazing we're even having this conversation, it's got to be, okay, this is it and there's no more. There can't be a fear of the unknown. It's got to be, okay, this is the situation. This is everything out there. Let the public, let the press digest it and then move on from there. Whereas with Freeze, so much of his was the fear of the unknown. You didn't know what was next. You didn't know how much was next. You didn't know what was coming in a week or 2 weeks or a month or 6 months or 3 years. So that's where Urban does have the leg up in attempting to save this position. And I'll tell you, I mean, you still hope that he's punished or reprimanded to whatever extent, but I'm telling you, I mean, as time goes on, I feel less and less likely that something dramatic is going to happen with that job.
All right, we always talk about media coverage. As the season goes on, this is a constant theme with Ohio State, right? I mean, this story
it
doesn't...
It should be.
It doesn't die, right?
It shouldn't.
Or does... Here's the question. ESPN Game Day goes to Columbus for their big game with somebody. How much is this talked about, or how much do they gloss it over in the... We're here celebrating college
football. Oh, my guess is a segment at most. Not going to be a whole show about it, for sure.
What happens when you clear him and Brett McMurphy keeps digging and keeps releasing text? That's the problem.
Well, that's the scary part. Like I said, it's the unknown. It's what else is there? What else can you put a face to? I mean, it's
well,
like
he's got her whole phone, Chase.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
She saved it all.
Yeah.
He's got all of it.
I mean, it's a situation very similar to, you know, we always talk about Ray Rice. We always knew he hit her, but when we saw he hit her, even though it was the exact thing we absolutely already knew, it changed the conversation.
My prediction, and I'm getting pretty decent at predictions, I picked the Bachelorette winner weeks ago. My prediction is
How'd you even know who was in the stupid thing to pick it?
I live in a house full of girls.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
They watched it. Okay. And I watched the way she interacted with
the Garrett
guy.
I mean, I knew you watched
Garrett
the Bachelor pad or the game or whatever it was, but I didn't know you were actually watching the Bachelorette, too.
Well, I don't watch it. I only watch segments of it. And I said when the Garrett guy, when she was out with him, I'm like, that's him. He's going to win.
Why? What about him?
You can just tell.
Because the really, really bad guy is always going to hang around but never win. And
yeah,
then...
there were like three guys that really had legitimate shots.
Okay. You could tell.
And this was before like they did the whole fantasy suite thing. Where she could try them all out.
Yeah. In-depth conversations for hours.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So you have a prediction. Go ahead.
He's going to keep his job.
Okay.
And a bombshell is going to drop this fall.
And then what?
They'll have to fire him. In total disgrace.
How is the AD not getting
fired? He'll be
fired at this
too.
Point?
He won't survive it.
Because, I mean, Ohio State hung him out to dry to save Meyer.
Well, Meyer's already thrown, yeah, like you said.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, I'm just a football coach.
I turn that over to Gene Smith. He's the guy. I'm just a lowly football coach.
Like say, I'm Urban Meyer peasant here.
I'm just the highest paid employee in the entire state of Ohio. That's me.
I just coach football.
I'm just a little kid from Columbus.
Trying to make good.
Yeah. LeBron James looking better and better every day in Ohio. God. I don't know, man.
LeBron seems like a really, really good dude, and I'm also tired of hearing about him at the same time. There's an overconsumption with him that I'm getting annoyed by.
Well, the President of the United States decided to make it a story.
Yeah.
The President of the United States made that a bigger deal than he had to. LeBron James did a really nice thing. Rachel Nichols did an interview, and for whatever reason, that triggered the President of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Don Lemon did an interview, and for whatever reason, that triggered the President of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And so rather than making it all about something else, he decided.
It's not really LeBron. I said I'm annoyed by LeBron. I'm not annoyed by LeBron even a little bit. I'm annoyed by the media overall, but in general, to be so polarizing that a guy has either got to be the worst human on earth or Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Everything he does is phenomenal, or this person's terrible.
Yes.
It's 0 and it's 100.
Yes.
No one's a 78, which in truth, a lot of people are 78. No one's a 0 or 100.
I would take a 78 right now.
78's pretty good.
Yeah, that'd be a good score.
78's a C+. That's passing. That's graduating.
I'm more like
good.
A 37.
What about
like
that?
I'd like a 78.
You know what I mean, though? That's my problem.
It's 0
it?
Or 100.
Well, it's like, you know, I'm not stealing content. Like I saw Clay Travis mention this morning. Now, look, Clay's pandering to a base, and he goes way beyond. But he made a point this morning that, maybe it was this morning, maybe it was last night, I forget. Anyway, that a lot of media reports don't even really mention that Akron's public school system is funding the majority of this school.
Right.
It's just, oh, LeBron's paying for everything. And it's like, LeBron's doing a great thing,
yes.
But let's just chill.
Yes.
Just chill a little.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah. It doesn't take away from the fact that he's giving of his time.
And his money.
And his money and his
and
name.
And everybody goes, well, it's his foundation. Well, it's still money he didn't have to give. He's doing a great thing, and there are trend-setting things with this that are really, really cool. He's going above and beyond just far as how the entire system works. It's really cool. It's really neat.
It's philanthropic.
Yeah, there's no
Chris
doubt.
Paul gave $2.5 million to Wake Forest today. It's the largest gift that they've ever gotten from an alum under the age of 40.
Okay.
It's nice.
Yeah,
great.
It's a good thing.
Now, do we have to turn him into a superhero? Of course not. And that's kind of with LeBron. LeBron is a great story. LeBron is the American dream. Now, of course, he was helped by the fact that he's 6'9" and he's athletic as hell. But LeBron could, within his rights, take his money and say, it's mine. I'm hoarding this. I'm running off to L.A. I'm building me some mansions, and I'm going to live me the good life. It's his right. It's his money. He's given a lot of his money, some of his money back, to do nice things for kids. He is helping to create a better life for 250 to 300 kids in Akron who would otherwise maybe not have this opportunity.
Yeah,
the promise of if you get a degree, they'll pay for your tuition to Akron University or the University of Akron, whichever it's called, is really cool. Those are kids.
Parents have some GED program options with this.
Some nice things.
Yeah.
Why the President of the United States decided to pick on that, I'll never know. I'm sure Hogan Gidley put his head down and just
moved on with his day.
Took a IV of rum and vodka without the lemonade and cranberry and just shoved it straight into his veins. But regardless, you're right. The media, because so many in the media are very hardcore liberal, hate Trump to a point. that there is no objectivity. And don't get me wrong, Trump deserves to be criticized for taking shots at LeBron James. That was dumb.
No, in the scale of humanity, we'd be much better off if there were a lot more LeBrons. He's not a problem for the world by any stretch of the imagination.
Not even a little bit.
I do find it interesting that he was never pushed a little more on that whole graffiti slur thing on the LA house, but that's a small blip on everything else that goes on LeBron day to day. I just thought that was odd. That there's a lot of people that would not have died down like it did there without really any type of follow-up or evidence for that matter.
Right.
But I don't know. I found it interesting. But what?
No.
Okay. Nothing. Well, you kind of like look like you're moving into something.
No.
What?
No, nothing.
Okay. But I don't know. I just it hit me a little bit. And I thought, he's doing a great thing, but why is it this? Why do they have to make it this? And of course, because everybody's looking for clicks and to be a brand and to see who can yell the loudest. Like, I was listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew yesterday, and Drew was talking about how outrage has suddenly become the biggest commodity in media, that it's whoever can be outraged the most is the person that's going to get the most attention, that it's never about nuance or truth now. It's just outrage. Just scream and yell and whatever. And, you know, it's like, somebody sent me a video that some press member put out the other day, and it had Hogan at the very end of it, and we had just talked to Hogan, so somebody saw him in the video. But it was Jim Acosta of CNN in the Oval Office talking to Trump, and, you know, this is days after Caitlin Cooper or whoever that had been kicked out of the media scrum from CNN. And Acosta, the interview was over, and he's just sitting here yelling at Trump, and it was very clear to see that he was trying to get kicked out, too. He was doing his best to get removed from the Oval Office.
After he had been granted an interview.
Well, it was a press scrum. Okay, but yeah, okay. And you can hear the wranglers in the White House people going, Jim, that's it, we're done, please go, that's it, we're done, and he won't leave. And it was simply, in my opinion, and not knowing Jim Acosta, but knowing his work, he was doing that to get removed and then turn around and go, see, they're trying to attack free speech. And it's like, you're just being a jerk to be a jerk at this point.
And you know what I think's happening is more and more people kind of like me who used to watch the news.
Oh, it turns you off. You're done.
So if you ask me what's going on in the world today, I'm embarrassed to tell you. I don't know. Not really sure.
I have a hard time finding a consumption method that I feel like I'm getting factual information from. I mean, I go through
Daily Mail UK. I get a lot of American news from Daily Mail UK.
Do you really?
Because it doesn't have a lot of agenda in it.
Yeah, I search for podcasts to fill me in, but it's so hard to find one in that, you know, 4 to 6 range that's not a 0 or a 10 because they're trying to fight for clicks in their little segment where if they start getting toward the middle, suddenly it doesn't work so well. But anyway, maybe a little more on that in a second. First,
you're right. Everyone's extreme.
Yeah, no doubt. So Mid-South is growing faster than ever. You'd like to make Memphis your new home. The name to know is Stacy Berry, a Keller Williams agent looking to help you find your special place in Midtown, Downtown, Germantown, or Collierville. Keller Williams, the number one real estate agency in the world, number one agent sold, agents, units sold, volume sold, and the Berry home team is now an integral part of that brand. So if you're a first-time home buyer looking to downsize, Stacy will evaluate and determine your current home value and sell it quickly for top dollar. So to sell your home, buy a home, or invest in real estate, the Berry home team is the place to unlock Memphis for you. 901-481-6420, Stacy Lane Berry at kw.com. That's LAINE and Stacy with an E. Or theberryhometeam.com to unlock Memphis.
If you have some real estate needs or you're looking into things in the Birmingham area, check out Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website, meganmphillips.com. MEAGANMPhillips.com or call Megan at 205-602-7929, 205-602-7929. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South once. You'll never tailgate without them again. They'll set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one can match their customer service and their attention to detail at 7SouthTailgating.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is in Memphis. So you get local underwriting, understand your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. You can reach Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Kermit Davis and all other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Whether you're getting ready for a big tailgate, big road trip, high school tailgates, from Stellan Chase that I saw where high school teams will have played 3 regular season games and a jamboree by the time the calendar turns to September. So if you're getting ready for some of your high school tailgates, that kind of thing, check out Billy's Pecans. They've got a complete selection of pecans, goodies, samplers, the cinnamon spice pecans, the toasted pecans. They have all sorts of chocolate pecans, coffee cakes, jellies, sauces, and more. Billy'sPecans.com. That's BILLIES Pecans.com or 1-800-624-7404.
Story on the next potential standout at Horn Lake High School for 2020 up on the site. Just saw that a second ago at rebelgrove.com. Yeah, you know, to kind of close the conversation we were having, I saw somebody, I'm picking up a lot of stuff just from Twitter that I see over the course of the day. I use Twitter more for, you know, it's funny. There's the worst of the internet in the world on Twitter, and there are also some people who can have some pretty clear, concise thoughts on Twitter that make a lot of sense. The problem is weeding out everything else and making up for it what it is. But somebody said, you know, yesterday or day before, and again, I should probably write these down to give credit, but I don't know. It's not my thought, but I agreed with it when I saw it. We're spending so much time, and it's needed on, I mean, you're seeing this right now. You're going to see it even more with Campbell getting ready for college in a year. So much focus on STEM majors, science, yeah, technology, engineering, math.
Oh, you're about to set me off on a pet peeve.
Am I? I won't do it,
but I could go there.
You think I'm lighting you up, though? Okay, oh, yeah. So point being here, and look, those are needed. We don't, I mean, from a technological standpoint, don't need to fall behind other countries, need to be innovative, all those things.
Sure, sure.
100% true.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I don't know that we even got a good dose of this when I was in school, but I do feel like it's getting worse and worse and worse. We are abandoning civics and humanities and anything along the liberal arts scale to the point of we are becoming so stupid when it comes to communicating, reading, writing, and not even your thoughts, Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal, but just understanding the context of why things are and how they got here, because that's the key to all this. And a lot of the people who should be in spaces to educate in media on politics and different things, there's just a lack of understanding on how we got to this situation and why things are. Whether something's right or wrong is indifferent. You need to understand why we're here and what's fully going on. And yeah, I feel like we're getting worse and worse with it by the day. I feel like that the class structure has changed so much to where we're frankly kind of idiots when it comes to politics and civics and economics and understanding the world around us and how it affects us.
You see it with the Electoral College every 4 years. People rail on it, but very few people can really. There are lots of people out there that don't understand why it is the way it is. How does that work? How do you get those numbers? Mm-hmm. How would those numbers theoretically change? Doesn't mean that you can be totally against the Electoral College.
Yeah, I could argue it either way if you'd like me to. That's
right.
Fine.
But the point is, they don't even understand what it is. You'll see this as you get older, and it doesn't. And I've had some people push back on this. It's my opinion that U.S. history is taught incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's very recent. It has a lot of recency bias. With a lot of talk about, and don't get me wrong, we should teach the civil rights movement, but you can't emphasize it at the expense of the revolution itself. The Civil War, World War II. There's a lot that needs to be learned to fully understand the world that you live in. And it's not taught because, in my opinion, there's a lot of political correctness involved. People might get offended. History is offensive. History is offensive. Doesn't change it, though. It's part of it's part of what got you there. You have to understand, like, you're, to your point, for context, I'm driven crazy by the acceptance of, it's not that it's not taught. We just accept poor grammar now.
No, you almost become a jerk for pointing out poor grammar now.
Yeah. I keep waiting for teachers
to
fail.
Yeah, but why does it matter? Just let it go.
I keep waiting for teachers to fail kids. Well, you knew what I meant. You know what I meant. No, you should get the word two correct. The word loser does not have two O's. That's looser, which means like I made my pants looser. I lost weight and my pants got looser.
When you lose weight, you have looser pants.
Yes, I don't lose weight. I lose it. The Royals did not lose to the Cubs last night. They lost to the Cubs last night. You don't lose the game. You lose the game. Also, if you use the word two, meaning also, it has two O's, not one. And these are things that should be taught. Getting there, T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E, correct instead of there, T-H-E-R-E, is important. And when you minimize those things, you're promoting ignorance. And that's not even old man yelling at a cloud. I'm right on this one. I'm absolutely right on this one. You agree with me?
Yeah.
This is not old man yelling
at a cloud. As I've told you in the past, it in a lot of ways, it probably is going to help your kids because there's such, well, there's two ways to look at it. One is in a lot of professions, people who just do things marginally well now stand out as very, very educated and very upper tier. The other problem is you might have a lot of people that just don't even give a crap when they see it. So I don't know where, you know.
No, you know what I've noticed? Because, like, we get our kids, and they'll typically do it on their own, but we make our kids write thank you notes. Sometimes the thank you note doesn't get written for 2 months, but write a thank you note, and people notice it.
Oh, no, that's A1. Yeah, that's
and
good.
And we get thank you notes from, like, Campbell's friends or Caroline's friends. Like, we had a bunch of kids over for they had like their winter formal, whatever. And we had a whole bunch of kids over. It was the day that Andre Roberson tore his knee up. We had a bunch of kids over and grilled and cooked dinner for them so they could have sit down dinner. And it was real, some other parents helped, whatever. But we got thank you notes from several of those kids. And you notice.
Well, yeah, I don't mean you. I just mean you hope that people that impact the livelihoods and well-beings of people notice.
Sure.
As time goes on, that's more.
I do. I still think it matters. Like you said, just being proficient at writing now makes you a great writer. I don't mean in our field. I mean in life.
Yeah, right.
Being able to communicate in writing, it's a major problem. And I don't know that it's not that they don't teach language and reading. It's like Carson went through the open house yesterday, and he has reading.
No, it's taught. It's not, the importance isn't emphasized the way it once was.
You know, I'm trying to think now. Okay, so yesterday he went to open house. So the first, he goes to math at the beginning of the day, and then he goes into what I think is science second.
All right.
So I should remember all this. He goes to insights, which is like the honors,
yeah,
whatever. And maybe that replaces something. I'm sure it does because not all of the kids are in that. I'm not sure exactly what that is. And then he goes to reading. I don't recall him having English.
Surely.
I now want to go ask questions. Do you have English class? Or is that part of reading? When you were in school at Hatley, all seriousness, and yeah, me and Rustin, we took English every year. That was just something you took.
Yeah, you had language arts was what it was called.
Yeah, and maybe that's what he's doing.
And then reading was more comprehension. It was read this and answer questions based off that reading for the full hour.
Yes. Like, I screamed at Caroline the other night because she and one of her friends were joking about how they can't read. They'll read something for 3 minutes, and they have to take a reading break, and I just went nuts. And I said, you do not need to say that in my presence. That is not smart. That was not well.
280 characters now.
That was
280 characters.
Yeah, that you can create a 30-minute game show on Instagram. You can read a book, and you know, like it's interesting. It's just,
I don't know the answer to this. Maybe it hadn't changed a ton. Maybe I'm overemphasizing it. Maybe it has. I'd love to know the percentage of Americans today versus the year 2000 that read at least one book a month.
Oh God, from 2000.
To now. Yeah, the change.
So the change in 18 years?
Yeah.
Significant.
Yeah, you would think so.
It's very significant.
Yeah. Give or take from when I was Campbell's age-ish.
I'll give a little. Every once in a while, now that I'm at this age, uh-huh, I get like questions like, give me a parenting tip.
You do, yeah.
Give you a parenting tip. And I'm not great at it. I'm pretty good at it. I'll give you a parenting tip. Let your kids see you, especially if you have young kids. Like my kids are too old; it doesn't matter anymore. They're not interested. But like when you're your age, and Carly Ann thinks you're the greatest man on the face of the earth, you are defining what she does, what she likes to do. Let her see you reading a book, not your phone, a book.
Literal hardback, paperback.
Let her see you flipping the pages. She likes to read.
Yeah.
She loves the book about the animal sounds.
Yeah.
Well, as she gets older, she's going to outgrow animal sounds.
Yeah.
And let her see you reading a book, yeah, an actual book, so that she's tempted to read books and not just play on the iPad.
That's interesting because I don't have a lot of books. I read most of my stuff on devices now, yeah, just for the ease of it.
Sure, it's convenient, but I think that's confusing to kids. It's my opinion.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, it's a good point. I never thought about it.
They see daddy's on his device.
Yeah.
Even though you're reading a book. You might be reading a very highbrow book.
Yeah.
But they see daddy on his device.
Yeah. So where's my device?
So where's my
suddenly device? I'm playing YouTube kids videos. And yep. Doing.
So I had to get on Carson a little bit yesterday because it was one of those deals where I know people are like, oh my God, I'm sick of the show. I had to, he scores exceptionally well in math and science and stuff. I've had to get on him about, man, you got to read. You got to make sure you're reading. You got to read. Don't look at just soccer videos. He'll get on YouTube and pull up soccer highlights and just watch. I'm like, you can do some of that, but put a timer on it. Read a book. Expand your brain. They're not going to ask you any questions on the ACT about Diego Maradona's highlights.
Yeah.
Study a little bit. Yeah. So, anyway.
Everything you get on a podcast here, we do appreciate it. Try to bring it to you every single day. Thanks to Kermit Davis for his time and what seems like 8 hours ago as we started talking. But hit a lot of variety of topics. We'll be back tomorrow with another podcast. And again, Friday's show will come to you from Funky's on Thursday night. So come join us, hang out, have some pizza, have a drink, and good conversation, hopefully, if we don't screw it up. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll see you then.